Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show is Sherry Christie of Elite Strength and Performance, coming to you from Edgewood, New York. Sherry, how are you today? What's going on?
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have you, Sherry. And I always enjoy the chance to pick the brain of professionals who are in the fitness industry, but you expand beyond just simply fitness into more of the physical therapy realm. Before we dive into Elite and the reason that we're here to have this podcast, talk to us a little bit about who you are and what you do in general, so we have some context for people listening.
Well, I started my journey as a physical, I started my journey as an athletic trainer. Always interested in, you know, the body, the health, strength, nutrition, that kind of thing. And after working as an athletic trainer for a while, I jumped on board for physical therapy because I realized they had a little more leeway with treating and helping people. But always, I've been athletic growing up, played sports in high school and in college, and just intrigued with the whole injury recovery and getting back onto the field, and wanted to add fitness to what I do with physical therapy, because oftentimes physical therapy is like limited by insurances and how many visits you can do. And the person might not necessarily be ready to jump back into what they were doing. So in 2014, I opened the gym. I finally realized that, after searching and searching for a space, and now I have both under one roof, and we really try to bleed them together and integrate them, because they do serve two different purposes.
Yep.
So.
And so distinct, but not necessarily exclusive, right? There's a little bit of crossover between the two, and somewhat determined by insurance a vast majority of the time, unfortunately. But you found a way to combine the two into what is now Elite Strength and Performance. You said this started way back in 2014, and you were searching and searching and searching for a commercial space, and we could spend an entire hour talking about commercial space and leasing in itself. But in a brief statement, what was important to you? What were you looking for in a lease or in a physical space?
Originally I had started off with just the physical therapy, and I was in a very small space. And as I was getting athletes, I had no room to work with them. So I'd take them out into the hallway, or I'd take them out into the parking lot. So when I opened the gym, they were two separate entities. I had a physical therapy location, and 3 miles away, I had a gym location, which was big, wide open. And it was taking me so long to get back and forth, I just put them under one roof. What I'm looking for in a gym space, I like space. I want to be able to run clients. We are not machine-based. I kind of think of us as more like physical culture. So very big with kettlebells. This is kind of a family business. Myself, my son, and my sister, we're all certified through Strong First. We're a strong first affiliate gym. So we practice those principles of strength has a greater purpose, which for me is wonderful because it blends right into what I do as a physical therapist. And I've also been my own patient. I've had multiple knee surgeries. So as you're getting older, you're not moving as well, and you have this nagging pain. And kettlebells really just kind of changed my life. And so I just really kind of adopted them into the gym. We also do like body weight training and barbell training. And then we'll do whatever else you can do with like ropes and med balls, but there's no machines. You're not going to come here and find a hack squat or a lat pull down or anything like that. Using more free weights, barbells in your body.
Sure. Plenty of ways to have fun still. Not limited in any sense. And so we found a location that gave us the floor space to do all of these things. Walk us through the model for the gym, because just when we say gym, there's so many ways that we can deliver value and structure a model in the fitness space. How do you guys structure this? How are you serving your fitness clients at least?
We're really kind of, it's small group, but it's like private training. It's like, we want to keep the class sizes small enough that we can work with people of different levels. Whether you're coming off of an injury or you're prepping for a race or you want to try a Spartan, we can work with you on all levels with progressions and regressions, and you're getting the attention of the coach. So we don't want the classes to get so big that like nobody gets to hide from us. You know, we're always focusing on their technique, making sure they're doing things safely, making sure they have the appropriate weight. I mean, sometimes you get people that pick up weights that are a little too light, and sometimes you get people that pick up weights that are a little too heavy. I would imagine through all of the physical therapy practice I've had, is I have a really good eye for figuring out if you're working out too little or too heavy.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so the semi-private model allows you to do that. Win-win for both sides, right? It allows you to serve more than one client at a time while still keeping in mind the coaching aspect of this, right? You described it as it's still almost personal training. We're still making sure everyone's doing what they're doing in a manner that they're supposed to be doing it, encouraging when we need to encourage, reining in when we need to rein in. And it allows for, from the client side, likely a little bit more digestible of a price point, at least as compared to personal training, as well as a little camaraderie, competition, social aspect with the other people in the group. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I think one of the best things about the small group training is the community. It's like, I keep telling people, like, we're the gym version of Cheers. You know, it's like everybody knows your name, yeah. And it helps to keep them accountable. They create friendships outside of the gym. They do things. We try to do things as a gym outside of the gym. They also get together with their new friends outside of the gym. But when somebody knows your name and you're showing up, or, you know Jill's going to be in class and she's expecting you to show up, it's the support and the encouragement you get from the other people in your class is certainly, I think, one of the best dynamics.
Yeah, it benefits both the business and the end user at the same time. Now, I think it's important to touch on the time that we are in the industry and relating it back to the last two or so years.
Yeah.
Craziness, you being in New York affected probably more than a lot of them. How do your membership numbers now compare to 2019 or even to early 2020?
My group kind of stuck with me. So we're starting to see a little uptick now, thankfully. But most of them did switch over to the virtual training during COVID, but 100% of them are happy to be back in.
Is that still something that you offer now, or have we sort of just gone back to the in-person?
We do what we call a hybrid class, just 2 days a week in the morning for a couple of people that commute into the city. They like the earlier time, and they've actually grown their kettlebell collection through COVID so that they can train at home. And they'll even take them with them on vacation and join us virtually from vacation. So it's nice.
Yeah. Much easier to find kettlebells now than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Well, when it happened, we told them, you take a kettlebell out of the library. So whatever kettlebells they chose, we just wrote down what kettlebells they took, and they used them for the time, and they just brought them back when they were done.
Yep.
Thank God, we have a lot of kettlebells.
Yeah. And so now we're able to operate with some level of normalcy. Majority of people have come back. We still have the virtual offering, but it sounds like it's not a major component of the business.
No, my crew likes the in-person. They like being here. They like I said, they love the community and the relationships, and you just miss that on Zoom.
And so, like we said, now that we are able to train in person, given the space that you have, given the resources and staffing and hours available, is there a membership target in your mind? What's or a capacity? What are we shooting for in the long run?
We're shooting for adding a little bit more variety to our classes, so that if people are not necessarily fans of the kettlebell, although I can't imagine that why they wouldn't be, but everybody has
somewhat biased, but sure.
I'm a little biased. We've recently started with a barbell training class. And then some, you know, people still love those HIIT or metabolic classes. And we want to create more of a distinction between them. So, you know, if you're coming in Monday at 5 o'clock, you're getting into a metabolic class only, and you don't have to work with the kettlebells. And if you know you're coming in Tuesday at 6 o'clock, it is going to be full on kettlebells. Right now, there's a little bit more bleeding of those classes together, just because the membership isn't big enough to start separating out every class.
Got it. And so looking to sort of parse out and offer more variety, some specialty things to your point.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned the membership isn't quite big enough to do that yet. And so this is a move coming down the pipeline, I would assume. How do we grow that membership? What's marketing look like for you now? And what does marketing look like to get you to where that membership is a little bit more robust?
Marketing for me right now is really just, I have a lead magnet out there. It's called 3 Keys to Pain-Free Knees. Just offers a couple of videos on mobilizing your knee at home yourself in ways you can do it, stretching, and some just easy beginner stuff to start quieting down your knees. Because I have a lot of people who come in and complain to me of knee pain. So that's why I pick that. We also do some networking through Long Island Networkers Association. Okay. And a little bit through the Deer Park Chamber of Commerce. And then we're trying to get into events. So as events are starting to come back, we're trying to be at events. So like my son and I will go to an event and a running event, and we're stretching runners before and after and giving away goodie bags. So that's pretty much where we're at now.
Number of tools, right? Yeah. Not necessarily one.
We need to step that up.
Yeah. How are we getting the lead magnet out in front of people? Is this social media? Is that
mostly social media right now?
What's the platform of choice for you?
I do both Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
Currently, I've played around with Facebook ads on and off. Right now, I'm just trying to run organic. Lead magnets. So just my sharing it, my staff sharing it, my clients sharing it, and seeing where it goes from there. If I get a good response, maybe we'll do another paid ad for it.
Yeah. I think there's the best of the best in our industry aren't just exclusively focused on the paid side. They aren't just exclusively focused on the organic side. Typically those work in tandem far better. And to the point where you said, I think if I'm sort of understanding the message within the message, we simply just need the membership to grow a little bit so that we have the budget for this. Small businesses like this can't just willy-nilly throw out money and hope that something works and sticks, right? We need to be pretty sure that there's an ROI coming back for us to feel comfortable about investing money, and not just advertising in anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so something that you've done, are we married to the concept? No, it doesn't sound like it, but proven validity at least. Now that you are moving forward and we're hypothetically generating leads, I want you to walk me through kind of a typical sales process. Someone reaches out or they opt into this lead magnet. Mm-hmm. What happens between that and signing up on a membership and starting as a client?
So if they sign up for the lead magnet, you know, we kind of have a sequence of emails that go out to them, as well as, you know, we'll call or text. We're trying to get them in for what we call a success session to sit down, talk about their goals. Then we just kind of give them the option. We have a couple of different options. They can try us out like at a discounted rate for 28 days, or they can do a full membership. We always allow somebody to, hey, you just want to come in and try a class for free, see what we're all about, see what the energy in the gym is. We offer that. But yeah, it's kind of just getting them in and being able to talk to them and get them set up with something.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Sherry, because it's always interesting to me, at least when we offer a free class or somewhat discounted or whatever it is. Do you do the same thing with the physical therapy side of things? Are people free on the first session there?
No. Physical therapy is a completely different approach. We actually accept insurances, so we're not a cash-based facility yet. I hope to move that way.
Yeah,
the insurances are getting to be more and more challenging every year. But people depend on their insurance paying for physical therapy.
Right.
And they come in specifically because they have an injury or a pain or they're post-surgical. Some of them may not want to be in the gym at all.
That's fair. I mean, anybody that's been in a clinic before can speak to that. I agree.
Right. So as much as we want that athletic person that, hey, they want to get back to playing their sport or doing their activity and we're going to bleed them into the gym. I've had people tell me, no, Sherry, like I don't sweat, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, we'll do the rehab end of things and keep you from sweating, but you got to do things to regain your motion, get rid of your pain and restore your function.
Sure. And so I ask not to tell you, hey, this is right or this is wrong, but I bring it up because I think fitness is really unique in that way. Like if I brought my wife to a new restaurant in town,
they're not giving
it out. I'm definitely not walking away without paying at the end. And so right. I think it's an interesting thought point, at least, not to steer you one way or the other, but I like to dig in and find out why. So we've got a number of different things available on the front end to kind of show what we're about, engage people and get them in. Now that we have members, you mentioned most of them have stuck with you through the pandemic. And so I assume retention is quite good. Is retention a metric that you look at either as a percentage or simply as a gut feeling?
Honestly, I do it more as a gut feeling. We do have to tighten up our systems and stuff like that, but the retention in this gym is pretty high. The gym has been open for 8 years and I have a handful of people that have been with me for 6 or more years. And most of the people definitely stay for a year or more.
And so we're
I really enjoy that. So it's like we're blessed that way. And we don't have such offers that we're getting a lot of, I don't know that transient is the word for it, but they're not, it's not like, you know, back in the days when people did Groupon hopping. We don't see that population.
Yeah, right? Probably for the better.
Totally for the better.
Class pass, things like, yeah.
Right. It's like, we want you to come, we want you to stay. And I think the community building, a lot of people have said to me, you know, what I like about your gym is that you are a physical therapist and I feel that I'm safe with you. And I'm like, you know, so that's good to know. So I think that's been beneficial in helping people to stay.
Yeah.
Because I would say our gym population is, you know, 35 and above.
Yeah. To play devil's advocate here for a minute, Sherry, are you at all concerned that because people are so drawn to working with you that at some point we'll sort of hit a natural bottleneck?
No, because I have trained my son and they just love him.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And the number one employee then.
Yeah. My sister has been teaching the Monday and Wednesday class, maybe since a year or two in, and she's got a regular following, longstanding clients.
Got it.
She's not by trade a trainer, but she went ahead and she got certified as a trainer. She's level 2 SFG with Strong First. My son's elite certified with Strong First. So we put a bunch of time and effort into our education. And I think that you know, it shows that people really appreciate that.
Yeah. I always say to gym owners that I work with in a number of capacities that it's far easier to teach a nice person the science than to teach a really, really smart person to be nice, right? We can deal far better with somebody that has a personality and is willing to help people. We can teach you all of the science, all of the coaching, all of the knowledge. Can't go the other way, right? It's difficult to make that transition. And so it sounds like you guys are in a good position with the resources that you have available. Look to the future with me here, Sherry. What's sort of the longer term goal or vision for you with Elite right now?
Well, one of my long-term goals is to actually get my son set up with sports performance. He's only 22. He's a former athlete himself. And I think that he would do really well working with athletes like 13, 18.
Yep.
Just kind of, like I said before, adding a dozen or so more people so we can add a few more specific classes so we have a little more variety to offer our clients. That's kind of the goal.
Yeah. And so
a little more blend for the physical therapy, trying to, you know, market to a little bit more of an athletic physical therapy population so that they're inclined to step into
people who want the help.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a common theme that I hear from people in your industry. That's for sure. And so at least as I hear it, sort of just not wholesale change anything, do what we're doing, but expand it to a little bit larger of a crowd. Am I understanding that properly?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want it. Like, I will never do large group training. It's just not, I really enjoy the personalization.
Yeah.
And the community of the smaller group. Yeah. So, and I like people to be able to spread out in our gym. And yeah. It's my gym, I would say, is not big enough to put 50 people in there.
Right.
You get to 20 and it's like, okay, start staggering. Yeah. So yeah. I like
this. I think there's been a really interesting paradigm shift in our industry, at least, whereas before it was, how many bodies can we shove through the door? How high can we climb that membership count? I think a lot more people find themselves in situations like you do where it's okay, we don't need 400, 500 people anymore. Let's serve the population that we have. We're going to serve them at a higher capacity. We're going to help them with a number of things and really, really get them great results. And we're going to charge for it, right? We're not charging what would be group training prices anyway, probably charging a little bit more. And so we can still create a really, really successful business in the manner that you want it, right? You started this business. You get to make the rules, Sherry. That's the point, right? That's why we did this thing in the first place. And so it'll be interesting to see how that shakes up for you here as you move forward. I think that's a really, really great place to begin to wrap up our conversation, Sherry. But before we sign out of here, why don't you tell people listening where they could learn a little bit more about this business? Is there a website? Is there social media? Where can we send people?
So we have a website, is elitestrengthli.com. We're also pretty active on Facebook at Elite Strength and Instagram, also Elite Strength LI. Pretty easy to find.
Simple and straightforward. Sherry, I appreciate your time. I can't thank you enough for your willingness to contribute here. This conversation amongst the entrepreneurship community becomes really, really valuable to show that other people are doing well with some things and as well as struggling with some things. And those are totally okay, right? It's worthwhile to note that nobody has it all together, but we're all in it trying to improve day by day. And so I can't thank you enough. I'm excited to see what this looks like for you here in the future. And I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much. It was, I appreciate you having me on. It was a pleasure chatting.
Absolutely. And so to everyone who tuned in today, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you'd like to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us, talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is JJ Hernandez. And joining us in the show today is a duo, two special guests. We have Brian and Desiree Loza out of California with Black Box Performance. Jesus Christ, we can edit that one. What is going on, folks? How you doing today? Happy Thursday.
How's it going? How's it going?
Hi.
Not too bad. We're excited to have you guys on. And before we dive in to what you guys have going on with Black Box, you know, first, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you describe the business to people and what made you guys get started in the first place?
I would say our business, the best way we could describe it is a community and a family. I think that's the biggest one. And it's one of those things that you come here to get healthy and get fit and all that fun stuff, but I think at the end of the day, you're going to have a good time doing it. And we simplify it. So I think we bring a pretty simplified version of our business, and that's kind of how we can portray who we are and what's it about.
Yeah.
I love it. And so we'll dive into the bare bones basics here of the business. We'll start from just the obvious stuff. How many members are you guys at currently?
So when we started, we had 19, and today we have 159.
Wow. Oh man, that's a big jump. Okay. Yeah. I love it. And so on the topic of clients, what's been the best method of finding new clients? Taking a big jump of 140 extra. I mean, what's worked for you guys?
A lot of it is, everyone says the same thing, but word of mouth. I mean, we really dove right into the community, like even before we opened our doors. Like I made sure to get to know our neighbors and our little shopping center. I invited them to our gym. Ryan made sure to kind of like reach out to people he knew in the area. And then we just started like spreading the word. We made sure to really, really try to get out there before our doors were open.
I think we spent about a month to 2 months really investing into just the businesses around and the community as well. Getting involved, I think, in a few fundraisers that our doors weren't even open yet, but we just made it a point like we need to get out there and put our face out there. And then slowly, this person knew this person and introduced us to more people. But we just we had the choice to really put ourselves out there without hesitation on it.
And then, of course, social media.
Yeah. Social media is a big one.
Instagram is kind of like our fun little platform that we like to post a lot of our daily, kind of daily stuff on there. And like, we post a lot of our workouts, a lot of our, I don't know, just our day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, just real things, real posts about what we are, messages that relate to our type of clientele that we're trying to attract. So.
And it's just being stupid around the gym.
Yeah.
Make it fun and relatable.
Fun and stupid.
Oh, right. Authentic. That's really awesome, I think. I love it. That's awesome, guys. And so, with the methods you've been using, right, and with the routes that you've gone as far as marketing goes, what would you say would be like a good weekly or monthly number of clients that you guys see coming in off of the tactics that you guys are using?
I mean, I think we're averaging right now. I mean, we're averaging about 2 to 3 a week, new signups a week. Mm-hmm. We started off with a super aggressive goal, of course, in the very beginning, just because We had very few members, and I think we had 8 signups per week. But yeah, the whole point of that was just so that our mindset was, you know, always thinking forward and bigger, you know, so knowing that we need to grow.
But, so it used to be 5 per week.
Yeah, 5 per week, and then drop down to that. And then I would say on a good month for us, a 6 to 8 new signups a month is kind of where we're at.
And so being at 159 clients now, if leads, traffic, clients, whatever, were unlimited, hypothetically speaking, of course, how much higher can you guys go? How much can you guys handle is the real question.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the next step right now. We've already started talking expansion, and getting, so we use some of our space for private training as well, but our goal is to make this whole thing just a studio just for classes, and then open up something separate where we can do the personal training. So an open gym concept with rental space for other coaches. Cause we're realizing right now very quickly with space, we don't want to run to, we have our caps of our class, but we don't run into the point where it gets too messy. Right. So we're getting close to that number, and we're already starting plans to the next phase.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's good problems to have.
Quality problems.
Yeah, definitely a good thing to have, right? I mean, not having enough space is always good. It's probably the best problem you can have. And so now, do you guys have an ETA for that, or when you guys want to get to that point?
We gave ourselves this year, but with some setbacks on the space that we're trying to find and all the permits and all that fun stuff that comes with the city that Dez is trying to handle right now. It's kind of setting us back. So we're looking for next year, I would say, or close to the beginning of next year.
I mean, I would definitely say it's our like next 1 year plan, to try and get something open that we can have that personal training space.
Yeah.
Open gym kind of concept.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so now to get that space for you guys, right? Just, I'm sorry to kind of expand on this topic, but I'm kind of curious. Do you guys feel like you would need to increase membership hit capacity and then do it? Or would you guys want to have it open prior to hitting capacity?
It'd be prior. Because we've been talking about this. I mean, we were 3 months open and saw the trend and knew we were on the right track. And the last thing we want to do is be comfortable, you know, and be okay with kind of where we're at. So we start talking about 3-4 months in after we've been open.
Yeah.
That's something we definitely want to open up before we hit capacity. That's one of the reasons why, is just, you know, you want to kind of build off the momentum. And I think so far we've been doing that really well with our classes, and mm-hmm. and now we're starting to get more interest for private training as well. And so time is limited and time is money for us. And we can only have so much time on our hands to actually spread ourselves that thin. So that's the dangerous part.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so, kind of taking another step deeper into clients here. So let's talk about retention, right? Because I know you guys were probably trainers prior, had some clients prior, or maybe you weren't. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Go ahead.
No, yeah, we were.
Anyway, yeah, okay, 100%. Yeah, so talking about retention, right? So how has retention looked for you guys? Is it like for an average, obviously, because you guys have been open for 8 months, so it's hard to know LTV as far as the gym goes. I mean, if you have everybody who's lasted all 8 months, then that's perfectly fine, of course. But, you know, what has been at least the best method of keeping clients, and how do you go about tracking that?
Yeah, I mean, we use our software to track. And then we also look at monthly reports that we have. So we use Zen Planner as for our studio, right? So, and that's been working for us. I think how we keep the retention is the constant amount of communication we have.
Yeah.
That's not even me. That's a Dez thing. She's the hounder. She's the one that, now I wouldn't even say hound, because she's like sending out messages. Hey, like just real messages. Like, where are you at? Haven't seen you. What's your deal?
Yeah. So every week I generate a report that tells me who has been in the gym and who has not been in the gym, and when was the last time they were in the gym. So what I do is I send out a text to every single one of those people, say, hey, you know, how's that knee injury? What's up? I haven't seen you. Why haven't you booked your classes? And I've gotten it like more times than not, like, I'm here because Desiree forced me to be, but yeah, I'm happy. And like, I mean, that's what I kind of feel.
No, that's honestly, I don't think she gives herself enough kudos for it, but that's honestly the biggest part, because that type of communication and touch points, like, that's everything, you know, like, crap, all right, I do need to get back in the gym. You're right.
I mean, like, especially at coming out of like these last few crazy years, I think the biggest thing that everybody always seems to want is accountability. They just want accountability. Like, I want to be this, I want to have this, I want to be this strong, but I need accountability. And so I kind of make it my goal to hold those people accountable. And like, even like the people that come in and try our classes, right? They're like, I just want this and I just can't get myself to do it and blah, blah, blah. So then like, they'll be like, ah, I'll think about it and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And I'll text them the next day. Hey, you know, you said the one thing you needed was accountability. So here I am.
Yeah.
Telling you to sign up. I have one lady who reminds me every single time she comes into class, I'm here because you forced me to be.
She's one of our longer lasting members. So
yeah.
Others need extra push.
That's awesome. You know, I always say that external accountability becomes an internal habit, right? And the honest truth, yeah, you know, it's like when your parents tell you brush your teeth, right? When you're a kid, like, oh, brush your teeth. And now it's like, you can't not do it, you know? Yeah. So it becomes that internal habit. So that's awesome stuff there. And so I'm going to ask you a little bit of a longer winded question here, but a great question in itself and a good way to kind of self-reflect. So in the fitness and gym industry, there's about three pillars of business we use pretty predominantly. And that first one's going to be your lead generation. That second one's going to be your client acquisition, which is your sales. And then you're going to have your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So of those three, where do you folks feel like you can improve the most?
Huh. I think the retention one we do really well. I think acquiring new clients would be a new source, right? Because we think about this all the time. Like, yeah, we get great referrals and we continue to get referrals just because the systems we have in place. But when it comes to like where they come from consistently, it's referrals and Instagram, but I would love another source. I think that's another way where we probably generate a little bit more, right? So
we really have been trying to like figure out like a new way of finding that. Like, you know, do we dip ourselves into the high school sports programs? Do we just kind of like explore other ways, but without spreading ourselves too thin?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, we've done so well with our referral program that we have, and you know, this whole thing, like, friends want to work out with friends. So that retention happens because of that as well. And that's where the acquisition comes from. But I always get scared in the back of my mind. I'm like, all right, we got to continue to look elsewhere. Got to continue to look elsewhere. So I think that's something, though we have that in our mind, I think that's something we definitely get better at.
Yeah. And I appreciate the honesty and transparency with that question there, because, you know, I haven't done this a little often now. I know people try to focus on the good, you know, especially even with a question like that, because they want to highlight the good. It's what we're on the podcast for. But the fact that, you know, with regardless of success, the fact that you guys can highlight, you know, and mention that you can improve, I appreciate it. The viewers appreciate it. And I think it's kind of an eye opener for most people when they will hear this. So thank you for that. But, you know, I mean, again, another thing I would like to mention too is you guys are fitness professionals. You guys are not marketers. So it's not bad or wrong that you guys don't know where else to look and where else to find. But I'm sure that's just something that literally you find it and you dive right into it. So perfectly fine there. And so now, last two questions for you two, but my two favorite questions in itself. And I know we kind of alluded to it earlier, but that's a little bit in the short term. So let's talk long term. What's the bigger picture? What's the overarching goal? What are you guys trying to accomplish in the long term?
So as husband and wife, we fight about this all the time. I always have that funny question like this. If someone came up to you and offer you X amount of money, would you sell? And she's like, no. So like, you know, she's like, no, like, I was like, what about franchise? She goes, I don't think that's what we want to do. So
It's funny. We were just talking about this, what, like 2 days ago?
Yeah.
About like, what is our next move? And like, I think that's what I really appreciate about Ryan and my relationship is that like, we have always been like, okay, what's next? What's next? Okay, now that we've gotten here, what's next? Let's go. Like, what's the next move?
Yeah.
So
I think long-term goal, I think as far as expansion, that is something for sure, whether if it's on a bigger with a square footage, with both class and gym concept. I think that's one big one for sure. So even because right now we're dealing with about 2,500 square feet, and then we'd open another just open based concept gym around that same size, just keep it small and containable. But I think dabbling into like a 10,000 square foot gym would be something kind of a long term that we're, it has that both class and also training. So I think
the cap wouldn't be so small.
Yeah, and the cap definitely wouldn't be that small. So. But yeah, I think that's long-term for sure. Something bigger like that. Yeah. And then build within that. So I think that's kind of where we're headed. Yeah. Unless a really great offer comes on the table. Just kidding.
You could take it. I'll stay here.
Yeah. It's a scary thought, but like, it's one of those things that, we definitely talk about more often than not.
I love that. It's you guys are too ambitious entrepreneurs, and I mean, it doesn't get better than that if you ask me, right? Yeah. I love it. And one last question, I'm really curious to see if your opinions are going to match or they're going to kind of be identical on this one. So let's see, you know, if you two could go back in time to when you both started the gym and give yourself that one piece of advice that you think you really needed to hear when you first started, what would it be for you two?
I want to hear your answer first.
Oh my god. I would have said yes a lot sooner. I would tell you that. I was very hesitant on the location. And I'm one to always hesitate too much in a very analytical way where I don't see kind of other parameters, right? And that's where I think Des helps me out because she's more of like, no, we got this, you got this, let's do this, you know? So she's like, kind of like, I'm gonna push you off the cliff kind of thing. Yeah, that's for sure. Cause we almost didn't land on the spot. We almost passed on and kept looking, and that was gonna be my decision. And so I think I would for sure said yes a lot sooner to some of the decisions we made because the lucky part that I have that I think a lot of people that open gyms don't have is a partner, AKA my wife, and she's very highly involved, and I'm very, very appreciative about it because she helps me make those decisions that are harder, right? So that saying yes, I mean, she, the day we saw the spot and she goes, man, this is it. I feel it. I have good feelings about it. And I'm over looking at numbers and looking at like the city around us and I don't know, but she goes, no, I feel it. And so yeah, that's the big one. And that's the one that I would say that she holds over me all the time for sure. So that's one decision. I think one piece of advice is just take a step forward because I think without that risk, you know, you'll never know, you know, and we get our best success in our failures. So,
mine is actually like the total and complete opposite is like, I wish I would have slowed down and said like and thought about things a little bit more because I
mean, look at Ryan, he's like,
yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't think I've ever even told him this stuff, but no, I mean, I kind of have, but I mean, like there's things that I'm glad I pushed forward as fast as I did with, but there's like a few things like here and there that we definitely could have saved money on, or like, I definitely could have like planned out a little bit better and we probably would have made a little bit less mistakes in the beginning. Like we didn't make many mistakes, but
yeah,
we could have made even less. But I think that's what I would have really done is like, hey, you know, let's crunch the numbers. The space is going to be there. The equipment's going to be there and you're going to be fine.
Negotiate a little bit longer.
Negotiate a little bit longer. Don't just sign the first deal.
Yeah. And that was I think that was the biggest thing. Cause like, this is our first business, right? Each of us and then together. So there's a lot of scare. And it's good to be scared. I think when you're scared and nervous, it's a good thing because it definitely heightens your senses to what you should be worried about. But yeah.
But then again, on the opposite, I was like not scared enough.
Yeah, she wasn't scared enough. Yeah. But like what she said too, you know, we made mistakes. We've actually made a lot of mistakes, and I take every single one, and we talk about it together, and we learn from it. And
sometimes we fight about it.
We fight about it. But then, you know, we work out and everything's fine after that. But yeah, if it wasn't for those failures and, you know, we would think we're on top of the world, but I think just like working out, and I like failing, right? Cause it lets you know where you're at. It lets you know what to work for next. And that's kind of the mindset that we both have. So, you know, we've hit some losses and some, oh man, we should have done better with that. But at the end of the day, like, it just makes us that much better.
I love it. Talk about a freaking mic drop of an answer from both of you. Oh man. I think Ryan regrets me asking that question. He was stressed over there. He was like,
oh, yeah. Oh my God.
it's hilarious. Like, it's a good place to wrap things up on this episode, folks. But before we sign out, you know, please shout out your social media, your Facebook, Instagram, website, anything you have. Where can people find out more about you and Black Box?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Instagram is BLKBox_performance. Then we got blackboxperformance.com. That's where you could book and check out our schedules for our classes. Again, it's BLKBoxPerformance.com. My personal handle is DEZ_yo. Desyo.
Desyo.
And then Ryan's super professional Instagram is RDL or RD Loza.
Yeah. It's initials. It's all no big deal.
Yeah, he's super fancy.
But yeah, we keep it pretty simple. So Instagram and our website, and then we're pretty active on it. So if anyone ever has questions or whatever it is, just we respond pretty dang quick.
Yeah. And all of our contact information are on all of those platforms.
On both.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Look, we absolutely appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast. I look forward to seeing what you guys can accomplish down the road. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you want to come in, join us, talk about your fitness business, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you very, very soon. And as always, till next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on PrestigeLabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I'm your host, Austin Montero, and today we are joined by DeAndre Gatson from the Grindhouse Gym in Toledo, Ohio. DeAndre, what's up, man?
What's up? What's up, Austin, man?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Appreciate you coming on today. And exciting times, right? We're opening this gym up here, what, in less than a month, right? 3 weeks or so. So that's awesome. I can see the gym behind you. It looks pretty badass. High ceilings, kind of the industrial vibe, which I personally love. Reminds me of my gyms, to be honest, man. So let's dive in, man. So we're opening this gym here in 3 weeks. Where is your mindset at as far as the goal for you personally in starting this business?
So it's a service. It's service for me, to be honest, Austin. I am in the fitness industry. I'm a certified fitness trainer. I love training.
Yeah.
But at heart, I think that I am, I think that I'm a I'm a servant. I'm more of an activist that happens to work in the fitness industry. Okay. But my goal is just to be in this community. We'll probably talk more about the community later, but this is a inner city community that I'm launching in, and it's just bringing fitness to an untapped and underserved market. I think they not only want it, but they need it. And if we come up with the perfect business model, approach them in the right way, and bring them a product that they can afford and relate to and benefit from, I think we can all win. We can all win.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'd love to hear that. And now, what is Toledo like as far as like a fitness community from a competition standpoint, from like a demographic standpoint? What is your community there that's going to be going to the gym? What does that look like? Can you hear me, DeAndre? Can you hear me? Got me now?
Y'all can hear me now, sorry man, I lost you for a minute there.
Yeah, I'm not sure if did you answer that question. I lost you.
Can you hear me now?
I got you now. Yeah, it keeps breaking up for some reason, but let's just give it a second. Yeah, we're gonna have to answer that question again, and I'll clean it up in the editing process, but I didn't hear that when you said it.
Okay, so I answered that question. What a question. I want to know if we're talking about Toledo in general or the specific community I'm in.
Well, yeah, I guess both. Yeah. So you said you're looking to bring that service to your community when people are wanting it and needing it. So I guess let's go down that and maybe elaborate down that path a little more and what you're going to be providing there with your gym, you know, the Grindhouse there in Toledo.
Right. So Toledo is largely dominated by commercial gyms, right? Your Normal Names, your Crunch Fit, right. Planet Fitness, Fitness, right? Large chains that are pretty much dominating the industry there. We got a lot of small, pretty much trainer occupied, maybe one or two trainers, you know, depending on the level. And those are in a lot of small pockets. Mostly it's more so the trainer's brand more so than the gym.
Right.
To draw. It's in this particular area that I'm in, it's not much going on in the fitness industry and a lot, and pretty much in the economic industry, period.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So the people who are exercising are traveling far. They're taking long distance. They're paying exorbitant amounts. They're paying less than a lesser product, so to speak.
Right? Okay. That's okay.
Commercial one size fits all fitness, maybe.
Sure.
I think it's right.
Yeah, I love it, man. It definitely sounds like it for sure from this side of the camera. Now I can see your space, man, behind you. Obviously we're getting set up here. I see the rowers, the bikes, you know, high ceilings, all that good stuff. Talk us through like why you chose this specific space and where was your mindset behind why you know, you chose the space. Was it for any reason of location, of maybe getting X amount of people in there, or what was your reasoning behind this space?
Okay, location is everything.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be in this community because, like I said, it's underserved.
Right.
So I wanted to be close and I wanted to be personable. Right? I wanted to be here so that people wouldn't have to travel so far to get somewhere. But I also wanted to be here so that I can add to the economy of the community and kind of become one community, because I know that's everything, right? Right.
Yeah.
Everything. If these people in this area want me to win, then I'm going to win, and I'm convinced of that, right? Right. So the main thing is just to build a bond and affinity with them, right? So I want to be right here in the community. another thing about this area is because it's a bit of a low economic place, the rent cheap, right? And key to me bringing fitness to this area is that the income level isn't super high. So I have to keep my overhead as low as possible in order to be able to provide a product they can afford, right? Rent isn't super high. It's right here in the community.
Right.
And I think that's going to help us.
I agree. All good reasons. And obviously when we start, we want to keep expenses as low as we can, right? So like that brings me to my next question, DeAndre. As far as a model goes for your business, we could do so many models out there, right? Group training, personal training, small group, open gym. What model are you going to be running there as far as services go at the Grindhouse Gym?
Okay, so I'm thinking that what our thrust is, our breadwinner, the thing we want to kick off is group training.
Okay.
All right. Group, not group classes, but group program.
Sure.
Right. The thing is a group program. I think that's our. I think people are looking for. A lot of people here are looking for results, right? Results. It's only so much discretionary income that's coming into the community. People want fitness. People want to look better. People want to feel better, but they need to know that that's what they're going to get before they're able to invest in it. And so what we are designing is 90-day programs, right? This is going to be our kickers, right? Nice and 90 for a few different demographics. Yeah. We want to run 5-day-a-week intense programming for 90 days.
Yeah.
With the meal plan included, nice. And charge upfront prices, right? So maybe it's like a $600 or $700 program, right? That you pay for 90 days, 5 days a week, 10 man groups that stay together for the entire 90 days and nice. Reset after the after the program is over. That along with opening up rental space for trainers.
Okay.
To launch their business off, because there's a lot of fledgling trainers in the community that I think just don't have opportunity.
Yeah.
And but they have people that believe in them or trust them or are willing to support them.
Right.
And before they go into choosing some of the lesser routes, because one thing we haven't talked about is I'm not too long removed from prison. You know, this is the fact that I did 16 years behind. Consecutive years behind bars from the age of 18 all the way up until the age of 34. Right. And I was released just about 10 months ago, a little over 10 months ago. And I started personal training. I was certified in prison. I was game planning in prison. I started personal training, was able to raise up enough money and start a renting space. And now finally getting into this space and launching and getting up and going. But I know that a lot of guys have an affinity for fitness. They're able to gather a following, and this is an untapped industry for them. So I want to open it up for trainers, provide rental space, push the nice and 90 day programming, and then provide exclusive membership, right? So I want to open up some membership, but because it's a small gym, I want to keep it boxed in. So open up to about 75 to 100 memberships max, right? And outside of that, you'll have to wait in line for it. But what that's going to do is help us push the exclusivity, right? Yeah. We lower the supply. I think that's going to boost our demand, right? And that's going to be one thing. Memberships, don't get left out. You know what I mean? Yeah. As they go, I maybe have a countdown on my website. You know what I mean? 99, 97, 96. That's the kind of person to get people in, you know?
Yeah, a lot of good stuff, man. Yeah, create that scarcity there for the memberships, like you said, create demand, which, yeah, I think that's great. And I love the 90-day getting started program and the higher ticket offering. I think that's, like, tremendous and a great way to go, especially when we're opening a gym, you know? So we know your model, DeAndre, why you started this thing, what you're trying to provide there in the community, how you're going to get people started. How do you market this thing, man? How are you going about advertising, marketing, to get that initial, 100 members in the door?
Right. So it's a few things, right? I'm heavy on social media, right? I'm heavy on Facebook. Particularly, I'm pushing Facebook because Instagram, I can do a lot. I can get a lot of followers on Instagram. I can do more. but I don't cater or focus on Instagram as much because the local community is on Facebook. Things locally happen on Facebook. Another thing I'm doing right now, the place I just left was a park where I'm doing a summer youth fitness program.
Okay.
And I've already been training the youth, as you probably know, but that's a big push, right? That's a big thing. People see it, people love it, and people want to know. And so while they're listening in on that, I'm always talking about grand opening. The thing I threw was the sign. Once the sign went up, people are already calling.
Oh, yeah.
For the neighborhood. And I'm going to tell you something else that's pushing. This is a push, right? The thing is being notable for whatever reason. Right? That's the key. So by me launching this business here, I could have launched this business in a nicer area, right?
Right.
Said, go time, grind, gym. Nobody would have talked about it. But when this time went up in this community,
people talk about it.
People talk about it for better or for worse. I was just in a barbershop and I was taking my nephew to get his haircut and I talked to his barber. And the barber said, so what you doing? I told him I got a gym, I'm about to launch. He said, and he listened as though he didn't know. And after a while, he was like, you think that's going to work? I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, I was just talking to a guy who was talking about the gym. And he don't think it's going to work. So the thing is, people are going to talk about it. People saying, nah, they're not going to work in that community. Ain't nobody going to come there. Yeah, get the people to come there. Yeah, and all that.
Yeah.
But talking point, whatever the case. And I think that's a big.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think there's a lot to that, man. If people are talking about it, that's good. I think, you know, in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, I agree 1,000%. With the Instagram, Facebook side of things, are you doing that, DeAndre, all organically, or are you doing any paid advertising at this point in time? Or maybe that's down the road?
Everything is organic.
Okay, very cool. Yeah.
Everything is word of mouth. Another thing I just did was a Kiva loan. Another thing I need is a Kiva loan. Kiva is a crowdfunding program, right?
I've
been on Facebook. But the thing that it does, more so than just the finances, right? The finances are all right, but to be honest, I could probably get by without them. But the thing about Kiva is it tells the narrative that I am one of the people of the community, and then I need the help of the community, right?
Right.
And people love an underdog, which I really am. But this helps me tell the narrative of being an underdog, right? And calling the community along my side, right? So people are pushing me, word of mouth, pushing me by sharing posts, right?
Sure.
Because they want to see me win, because it just by asking for money or just by fundraising, it's helping to show that I am human. I am like you. I'm an underdog. I'm the tea biscuit of, you know, the racetrack.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it makes total sense. And yeah, word of mouth is massive, especially in the community. And I think it's, they say we bring like 50% of our, in a service-based business, we bring like 50% of our members in through that. So that's incredible. And we get good word of mouth out there. That's awesome. I wanted to talk about your 90-day program. I wrote it down, which I love. Say I finish that 90-day program. When I do finish it, what are you going to do? How's that member's journey going to change or be the same after that first 90 days? What's the plan there moving forward?
Right. So what I want to develop is different levels of intensity in my program. Right?
Okay.
So we want a 90-day program for young athletes. We want a 90-day program for post pregnancy women. We're gonna 90-day program for middle-aged men from 35 to 55. We want a different program. So what will likely happen is they'll want to move to a more intense program, right? A more intense 90 that you want to come out of this and go into the intense pro, you know, or whatever, move up to that. By that. Another thing is we want, after 90 days of being here 5 days a week and being around me and being around our culture, we want it to be a necessity that now you just want a membership.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You need a membership, you want to stay around, and we can lock a lot of people in like that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's good. And again, I love the 90-day start. I think it's a great way to start people. They're going to get some kind of results. They're going to have some kind of buy-in once the 90 days is up. And if we do our job as coaches and gym owners, they'll definitely stay, you know. Now, with on top of that 90-day program, DeAndre, is there going to be a way for members to, like, spend money with you, buy other services on top of that regular membership? Supplements, nutrition, I know you said that's included, but merch, clinics, anything like that?
Right. So definitely, those are the two things. Merch, yeah. Supplements. And what I want to go with the supplements is I want to go all natural supplement. Okay. And I'm kind of trying to go with things like sea moss.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go with things like herbal mixes like turmeric.
Sure.
Different things, right?
Right.
But we're gonna go all that, bring in some people that do some juicing, special juicing and whatnot, because I think that's a big thing in this community, right? People are just getting back to those things. I don't know if you are familiar with like Dr. Selby and some of the things he pushed with holistic and natural medicine, but I think it's a thing here, and the thing is to be a part of the community,
right?
Community. I think that'll be a big draw. And that's
what. Yeah, man. Yeah, I love the natural approach, and yeah, I think community is so important, especially getting started. Right? We want to build a really strong base of clients early on, so that we can last for years and years and years and years. What are some key components and maybe best practices you're going to use, DeAndre, to build that community, to make it as strong as possible, to get people fully engaged in the grindhouse?
It's just always coming back to that drawing board. You know, I got a small little ragtag team, and right. It's having our thing. It's having who we are and what we came to do here.
Yeah.
And always going back to that place in our meetings and saying, is everything aligned? You know,
right.
Is everything aligned with this specific purpose? And I think if we do that and stay faithful to that, I think everything will come right out of that wheel. As of now, what we're doing with this build out is, I mean, I'm thinking everything is in line. It's all about the narrative.
Yeah,
right? A lot of machinery is even built there, right? So one thing we want to do is just keep telling that story, right? With even the art we plan to put on the wall.
Yeah.
Talk. So a lot of advanced and heavy machinery won't be in here. Like the hardest thing we'll have is barbells and dumbbells, right? Other than that, all of our cardio machines are manual, right? And it's because the story that we're telling is that the value is in the individual. It's not not in the specific resource, right? You can have a piece of world-class machinery and come out totally out of shape. And you can another person to have a brick and a box and street to run down and out of position.
Yeah.
You know? So we want to push that and keep telling that story, even with the machinery that we chose in. And just try to make it bleed throughout the entire business model and service.
Yeah. No, I hear you for sure. And it's like you can do any workout in the world. It's obviously so important how we do it, you know. And I'm sure you're going to do stuff like probably have community events running out of the gym, charity events, all these sort of things, you know, that I definitely remember doing. And it's, again, such a good way to build community moving forward and to last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, man. With that being said, go ahead.
But the thing I should have said was the you. Right?
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
People care when you care about their children, right? People care about the children. When you care about the children, then you bond with them well. So I think if I take care of the babies, provide youth programming, and a lot of what you said with charity events, and we're working with the kids and the kids, the youth come. Even with the kids I train out, they bring them a few times. They bring them a few times, and before long, mom or dad is asking, hey, what about me?
You know? Yeah. And
take care of the babies, take care of us.
I agree, man. A really good lead generator and another way to market in a not direct way, but yeah, all that stuff is great. I agree totally. Now with the next year, so first year in business, man, what is like your main, maybe one or two focuses here, even like benchmarks you'd like to hit for the business within its first year?
Within the first year, so right, so if we start in July, and that's an odd time to open, I know, but if we kick open in July, by next June, we want to have run at least 5 90-day cycles.
Nice.
Of at least 5 nice and 90-day programs, right? Okay. Full, right? Yeah. Throughout that's the big goal I'm looking at. Yeah. If we can do that, and with everything else inside, we will have covered expenses, recouped our income. We did the math. We have recouped our investment,
right,
and we're covering our expenses.
Yeah.
So that's the pivotal. That's our foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, man. I think that's a great first goal. And like you said, create that foundation, be able to recoup our initial investment and kind of just profit forward from there. So I think that's a terrific goal to have getting started and moving there. And what's like a long-term goal, like 5-year plan for Grindhouse? What are you looking, where would you love this place to be 5 years from today?
And at least 2 more communities in the neighborhood.
Nice.
In neighborhoods like these, right?
Like this, okay, yeah.
That's what we want to do. We want to attack local disadvantaged areas, use the spaces that's in the community that's unoccupied, like this one. You know, that was even it could have been a bad place. You know, somebody turned into a nightclub at one time, or it was a bad place.
Right.
And so we want to be in 2 more communities within the city.
Nice.
5 years, 2 places that we serve in the community.
Man, that's awesome. I think it's a great goal. I love putting those goals out there, right, and then taking just a ton of action to accomplish these. And I'm pretty certain you're going to do that, man. So DeAndre, I think it's a beautiful place to wrap this up. Where can the listeners check you out in the Grindhouse Facebook, Instagram, website, all that good stuff?
Okay, so my social media sites, the handle is Coach Pooh Go Time, right? So Coach Pooh, which is my nickname, Go Time. That's CoachPoogTyme. And you can find that on Facebook. You can find it on IG. You can go look me up on YouTube, especially go subscribe there. It's not a lot of new content on there, but it's about to be dropping soon. I'm about to get on the weekly round. That's another big marketing push. I'm going to get on the weekly round and pretty much telling my life story, showing how that relates to fitness and talking about the build out and the work we're doing here, and just document the whole growth process. Go look at that and check out the website, gotimegrind.com. That's gotimegrind.com. Check out everything we're doing. You can help support with the Kiva link that you'll find there. Go there and help on the crowdfunding support on the loan, 0 interest loan. Just stay tuned in, because we're trying to do a lot.
I love it, man. I'm just going to give you guys a follow after this. And DeAndre, appreciate you coming on, man, sharing your story with us. Great time to talk to you right before you're opening this gym. And I'd love to check in with you down the road, man, a year, and see where we're at. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, come back. Share some good stuff to tell. Thanks, Austin. Appreciate you.
Absolutely will, man. You got it, brother. Thank you. And listeners, we appreciate you guys as well. Please hit like and subscribe to be notified for future episodes. And until next time, Gym Lords, we are out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's 4 ways we can help you grow your gym for free. 1, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. 2, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. 3, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. 4, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.